later, they can join and sit easily. Salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبو القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وإذا سمعوا ما أنزل إلى الرسول ترى أعينهم تفيض من الدمع صلوات Those servants of Allah who had the hub and muhabbat in their qalb, they, whenever they hear what is revealed on the messenger, tara a'yunahum tafidu min ad-dama, you see their eyes are shedding the tears. In other words, so their eyes become full of tears. Muhabbat of Allah in the qalb requires a person to have al-asrar al-budiyya, how the scholars say, the divine secrets opened up for him. It does not happen that easily unless the divine secrets are opened for that qalb. And the alamat of al-asrar al-budiyya, the divine secrets opened on that qalb, is that the person will not feel at peace without the amr and nahi from Allah. So he always wants the awamr and nawahi, the do's and do nots from Allah, to shape his life. And he, second of all, the second alamat of the hub in the qalb is that he would always strive to find ways to serve and do the khidmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how his heart will find peace and satisfaction. And without that, he would never be at rest. And this is because of the fact that he has protected his qalb from the wasawis and deceptions of shaitan. When we protect our qalb from the wasawis and deceptions of shaitan, and we abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have the love of Allah in our heart, we become deserving for receiving the basharat at the time of death. So when a person like that is passing away from this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see the relatives of the person are standing around him and crying, and you find that the relatives, the closer they are, the more disturbed they will be over this situation when the person is giving his life, departing this world. But on the other hand, in the Alam al-Malakut, something else is taking place that people do not realize. What is that something? There are a lot of things which are taking place. And one of those things is that Allah sends His angels and asks them to rub the hand. The angels will be rubbing the hands over the orphans of this person and giving this basharat, this glad tidings and good news. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum ta'adun. So there is a basharat given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these kind of people, when they are departing this world of matter towards the Alam al-Malakut, they don't have any khawf in their qalb, they don't have any huzn or sorrow in their heart. And the basharat and good news of Jannat is given before their departure. Before they leave this world, they know they are heading towards Jannat. So look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is respecting and honoring His obedient and beloved servants, those who have the love of Allah and are obedient towards Him. And now, obviously, like I said earlier, you find in that typical scenario there are people standing and the relatives are standing and they are very anxious and crying over the departure of their beloved person. And whereas the angels of Allah are the ones who are sitting there and saying, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your supporters. They are the ones who are the wali and nasir and supporter of the mu'min in the life of dunya and in akhirat. So angel of death arrives, obviously, who is officially assigned by Allah, one of the muqarrabin, one of the closest angels. Angels have darajat, isn't it right? Not every angel is on one standard level of nuraniyat. There are several darajat, but Israel alayhi salam is one of the closest angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his nuraniyat. And we find that Israel alayhi salam, when he shows up for fulfilling the wasiyat and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this mu'min, so he says to those who are around, وَيْلَكُمْ مِمَّ الْفَزَعُ. Why are you scared? Now, people are scared of death, isn't it right? They are scared that our beloved person is leaving this world, isn't it right? So they are, what is going to come? People are scared about their own selves. But most of the people, when somebody is dying, are scared about their own selves. Very few are the higher level of pious people scared about that person, not about themselves. Is that right? So this person, one person was, when he was departing, and he asked his relatives, why are you crying? He asked his father. His father said, well, I'm crying because you are my only son. I had in my mind when I get old, there's somebody standing behind me to support me. Is that right? So now you're departing, so there will be nobody to support me after you. And this person asked his mom, why are you crying? And mom said, well, I'm crying because obviously, I gave birth to you, I love you, you are my son, you are my support. You're going to assist me in the when I become elderly. That was my expectation. Now I will not have any support. Then he asked his wife, why are you crying? And she said, well, you are leaving behind these orphans. He said, well, who's going to take care of the orphans after you? Me. So he said, obviously I have to cry. It's a big burden coming on my shoulders. So he says, well, all of you then are crying for your own interests. None of you are caring about what I am going to face in the Alam al-Barzakh. Isn't it right? You are crying for your own interests. So we find most of the people are crying in the time of death. When you go through typical scenarios, most of the people, generally speaking, are crying over their own interests. There are very few people who are higher level of pious who are crying for that person, like Abu Dharr, sallallahu alayhi wa rahmatullahi alayhi, his great companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he goes next to the janaza of his son, when his son was about to die, and he was crying. He said, well, I'm not crying for any other reason. I'm crying for you. How would you be able to answer the questions in the grave? This is what makes me cry. So he was afraid about his own son, whether he will be able to answer the question properly, successfully or not. That was his concern. And that's why he was crying. This shows the ma'rifat of Abu Dharr. Is it right? When somebody came in, when Abu Dharr himself was dying when he was sent to Rabza by the Tahut ruler of that time, and we find some of the people in the desert showed up and came for help. So is there anything we can do for you? What do you need? So he says that to the people that, want us to bring some doctors and tabib for you. Abu Dharr replies back that the tabib is the one who made me sick. My tabib is Rabbul Alameen. It's Allah who made me sick. Isn't it? Who else gives the naf' and dharr in the aqidah of Islam? It's not in the hands of humans. No human can harm you. No human can benefit you. Isn't it right? This is the iman. This is the basics of our iman. The naf' and dharr, benefit and harm of our lives, is not in the control of any human being, not in the control of your employer, not in the control of any other person out there. Isn't it right? Your naf' and dharr is in the hands of Allah. No benefit can reach you if Allah has not commanded and destined for the benefit to reach you, and no harm can be afflicted on you if Allah did not permit. So it's all under the control and the qada and qadr of Allah, which is ruling over the destiny. So we find that Malik al-Maut says to the Aqraba, بَيْنَكُمْ مِنَّ الْخَزَاءِ. Why are you scared? From what are you scared? وَفِيمَ الْجَزَاءِ. Why are you anxious? I don't come here, you are unaware about the aqibat of this person. And his risk did not decrease. The mu'min who dies, his risk is now given there, as in order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Risk does not decrease. Depends on the level and darajat, what types of risk we receive, depending on what level of iman and taqwa do we belong. Isn't it right? The risk is always there. So he says that me coming here, Malik al-Maut says, is not because of istibdad bil-ra'i, that I am opinionated about my opinion. It's not without the command of Allah. And the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ما من بيت إلا وملك الموت يقف على بابه في كل يوم خمس مرات. There is no house except that angel of death stands at the door every day 5 times. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Certainly he said the truth, and nothing but the truth. Every day the angel of death stands at the door 5 times. Angel of death is a huge angel. You know, this world of matter is nothing in front of his greatness, and this planet Earth is nothing in front of his greatness. So we need to be prepared for the time of the death and the haqiqat and reality of death. Aksiru, the hadith of the Prophet says, Aksiru zikra hadimin wa zat. That means remember a lot. Remember the zikr of the destroyer of pleasures. Prophet is talking about moth and death as hadimin wa zat, the destroyer of pleasures. How much a person is engaged with his money, 97, 95, running behind money, ignoring learning of the ilm and knowledge and baradat of taqwa. Some people don't have the ilm and the knowledge of Quran, but they're running after money. How much emphasis is laid on dunya in their lifestyle, and how much emphasis in taqeed is on the taqwa, the akhirat, and the ulub of Quran. And like Imam Ali, this one says, إِنَّ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ أَوْجَبْ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ طَلَبِ الْمَالِ نَهْجِ الْبَلَاغَ. Seeking of the knowledge is more wajib on you than seeking of the money. So how many of people are giving importance? So Imam Ali is saying, the Prophet says that the destroyer of the pleasures, death is the destroyer of the pleasures. This is how he talks about death. They mention the destroyer of the pleasures a lot. That means iksar, doing the zikr of moth a lot. That's how we should do it. Now, obviously, what happens when we remember the death a lot of time? We get talaq to this dunya. Right? We are not having attachments of this dunya, love of positions, hubbul mal, love of money, hubbul shahawat, love of desires, hubbul shuhra, love of fame, and so on and so forth, all the various types of loves and attachments that people have, and because of that they are working for this dunya. So all those attachments will be detached ahead of the time before the death comes. So because it's about dunya that they are doing what they are doing, isn't it right? Against the hukum of Allah. So حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة, that's the root of every wrong and sin. That's why the people do the sins. So we find that one of the scholars, when he was passing away, somebody asked him, "Then why are you so much afraid of death?" He replies that, well, these are lessons for us to keep in our mind. He says, "Asluku tariqan lam asluku abada." I'm tread now going towards a path that I never tread in my life. We never went into Alam al-Malakut, right? So it's the first time you're going to an unknown place, unknown destination. Obviously you will be scared. What's going to happen there? I don't know. I've never been there. Isn't it right? أَسْلُكُ طَرِيقًا لَمْ أَسْلُكُ أَبَدًا وَأَسْكُنُ بَيْتًا لَمْ أَسْكُنُ أَبَدًا. I am now going to reside in a house where I never lived. There is a scare. وَأَقْدِمُ عَلَىٰ رَبٍ لَمْ أَرَهُ أَبَدًا. And I am going towards the Lord whom I never saw. So obviously there is a scare involved. We don't know whether the angels of Azab are going to come and take the soul out, and all the angels of Rahma. Angels are classified into two types, Malaikatul Azab and Malaikatul Rahma, in the light of the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So angels are either the angels of mercy or the angels of the punishment and torment of Allah. So angels of mercy are sent towards the good doers, and angels of Azab are sent towards the bad doers, depending on the person, as that how we deserve. So we don't know, he says, well, I don't know whether the angel of Azab will come towards me or angel of mercy. I don't know whether my grave will be scary. Some people have their grave as scary. And rakshat, they have rakshat in the cup, scare. Some people, they have uns. And there are factors and elements mentioned in our, some of those factors mentioned in our hadith, which cause uns, the wives will see it for the person. So if you have a raised ego, one of those factors that provide oomph and familiarity to our soul, then we will have the rough qabr. Otherwise, there will be a rough and scare inside the grave. So scare in the grave is not because of the grave, it's because of us. Because we fail to gather those factors that guarantee the oomph in the loneliness. We were supposed to gather all those things from there, you know, right? So we find the scholars said, I don't know whether my grave will be tight or wide, expanded. Some people have their graves as tight, ضيق, ضيق القبر, you know, right? Some people, their grave get expanded, إلى مد البصر. The hadith says, you know, as far as your eyes can see, the limits of your eyesight, the grave is expanded. So this depends again on where iman and taqwa. So if some people have that kind of wide and expanded grave, he said, I don't know whether my grave will be dark or nurani, mudlam or nurani, whether it's a zulmat of the sins or the nur of the obediences of Allah. So when obviously you have these kinds of unknowns in front of you, so many unknowns, there is a room for a person to be scared. And he says, I don't know whether my hasanat, good deeds, will outweigh my sayyat, the bad deeds, or vice versa, my sayyat, bad deeds, are going to outweigh the hasanat. Because we will go, all these things will be placed in the mizan, as an elder scale. Now, whoever, يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَحَ, and whoever performed equal to the grain of a mustard. How small is the grain of a mustard? Really tiny. Even if a person is performing this small good deed, he will see it. We believe in the Sul Amal and it's not actually religion. And then all our Amal will be personified in the forms and shapes, depending on the nature of the action, Nurani or Zulmani. So, when in Ya'ban Mithqala, Zaratin Sharri Yarah, whether comes, you know, even a misqal of the zarra, you know, equal any evil, any bad, we will see it, in other words. So we are going to see our hasanat and our sayyat. Every sin is seeable. Every deed has a form and shape, and it is seeable. We fail to see the good deeds and bad ones, and that's why, obviously, sight is limited, but the urafa can see it. So he says, the scholar said, I don't know whether after we cross the bridge of Sirat, Quran says, Fariqun fi jannati wa fariqun fi sa'ir. So obviously we know that after we cross the bridge of Sirat, that's where the tension comes. It's like a T-junction, where some people will now be sent to the paradise and some people will now be sent to the hell. That's the T-junction after the Sirat. So after the Sirat, we will finally know. Up till Sirat, you still are, it's unknown for you. Then right, you don't know. But after Sirat, you go to the T-junction, where the path is going either towards the hell or towards the heaven. Which side you're going to be sent? We don't know. So it's still an unknown domain. And Sirat is the place, is one of those several places where we find that the hub of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wa salam, is going to help the person. And this is narrated by Hazrat Abu Bakr, and that I heard Rasulullah saying, لا يجوز أحد الصراط إلا من كتب له علي الجواز. No one, I heard the Holy Prophet saying that no one can cross the bridge of Sirat except the one for whom Ali alayhi salam has written the license. This is a confirmed hadith from both sources that if we want to cross that stage of Sirat, the bridge of Sirat, we need to have a license written, handwritten by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam for that person. Otherwise, there is no way for any person to cross the bridge of Sirat. So, somebody who has these kinds of fears and scares in front of him, unknowns, obviously he would be sad, he would be scared. That's one of the reasons maybe why we find that we are supposed to die. In another prophet I said, die before you die. So we do for ourselves what death does to us. Whatever death does to us, we will entirely do the same for our own selves. So we detach ourselves from this dunya. Now we find that one of the messengers of Allah in the history, he was passing by a graveyard and his ashab and companions were with him. Somebody said to him, oh, the messenger, why don't you make one of the graves alive, one of these dead person people alive, so that we can ask him about that. The messenger, every messenger is masoom, isn't it right? All the prophets used to pray. He did his two rakats of prayers to Allah and he prayed to Allah, and obviously dua of every messenger is accepted and mustajab. Allah made one of the persons alive and he came out of the grave and he said, Ya Hawa, Wallahu laqad muttu qabla 90 sana. I died 9 years ago. Fama zahabat mararatul maut min halqi. Up till now, the bitterness of death still didn't go away from my throat. So, this bitterness of death is obviously not for the awliya Allah, not for the mahbub servants of Allah, not for ahl taqwa. There is no bitterness of death. Because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different way how he treats beloved servants. When a regular person passes away from this dunya, including a regular mu'min, not just a kuffar, including a regular mu'min, Allah sends munkir and nakir into the graves, which are two of the closest angels of Allah. Isn't it right? So, إِذَا أَتَاكَ الْمَلَكَانِ الْمُقَرَّبَانِ. We say in the Talqeen, رَسُولَيْنِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَسَعَلَاكَ عَنْ رَبِّ. When two angels, the Muqarrab of Allah, come to you and ask, who's your Lord, and this and this and this, then we remind that information to the dead person in the Talqeen. So this is how it happened for the regular mu'min and the rest of the people. But for the good doers, Allah does not send the munkir and nakir. Instead, munkir and nakir are replaced. Munkir and nakir are muqarrab and close, but qareeb al-manzar, the hadith tells us that their face is ugly. Qareeb al-manzar, bad face. Whereas Mubashir and Bashir are Hasan and Manzar, they are nice looking angels. Look at that. Even to that level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is respecting in a different way the pious people. Now the angel of death is there. Narration tells us when he takes the souls out, obviously the veins of the person break because of the pain. We learn in the light of the hadith, in the time of the Sakarat, it's a painful moment. And at that stage of Sakarat, the person starts saying, I'm doing a tawbah, I repent from my sins, I realize that I did wrong. And the angel of death says, now you're doing a tawbah, they don't think to accept your tawbah at this time. And that is where the person says what the Holy Quran has mentioned in Surah Az-Zumar, that Ya Hasrata ala ma farrattu fi jambi Allah. So he's expressing his hasrat over what wrongs he did in fi jambi Allah, in the mahzar and hudur of Allah, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've been doing the wrong in the presence of Allah, isn't it right? And at the time of death we realize that how wrong and what wrong we did in his presence. Haris al-Hamdani, who's one of the great companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam from Yemen, from the Qabilat al-Hamdan, he said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that I'm afraid about two things. One is the time of Sakarat al-Maut, Nazr when the soul is taken out, and the second is about crossing over the bridge of Sirat, and both things we just discussed. So in our other Islam says, don't be scared, because in those two places, I will be, my lovers will be secure, and I will be present, and they will recognize me, and I will recognize them, and I will give the Bisharat, the dead powers to about paradise to them, and I will send my enemies to the hell. And that's where Imam Ali al-Salam said his famous statement, Ya Haruhan Man Yatrani Min Mu'min al Munafiq al Qubla Ya'rifuhu Tadhuhu Wa A'rifuhu Bina'tihi Wasmihi Wa Ma Fa'ala Wa Anta Ala Salat al Mu'taridi فَلَا تَخَفْ أَصْرَةً وَلَا زَلَلًا. So Imam Ali al-Islam is informing his companion that whoever dies sees me. It's a confirmed fact that Imam Ali al-Islam appears at the time of death مِنْ مُؤْمِنٍ أَوْ مُنَافِقٍ قُبُلًا. Whether a person dying is a mu'min or the person dying is a munafiq, in both cases, well, Imam Ali al-Islam always is there, and obviously he's the one who's supervising, and he's the one who's present on behalf of Allah at that time. It's the hadith of Rasulullah that he had said in his hadith that Allahumma la tumitni hatta turiyani aliyan. Oh my God, don't make me die until I see Ali. So even for the Rasulullah, the last person that Prophet saw was precisely Imam Ali al-Salatu wa-Salam's beautiful face. And Muhaddis Qumi has narrated that Prophet's head was over the hand of Imam Ali al-Salam in his final days, in final time. And when the soul was taken out, the soul of the Holy Prophet passed through the Mubarak hand of Imam Ali al-Salam. So the tafsir, in the tafsir of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, is mentioned that whoever has, any mu'min who has the tawalli of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and his children, his the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, tawalli means we consider them to be our imams, and we don't support the taghut. Right? If you support Yazid, if you support Muawiyah, you're not a lover of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Are you support the Yazids of today, you're not a lover of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. Right? Tawalli means considering our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to be our Mawla and Wali and Imam, and we don't side with the enemies of theirs. And the mu'min abides by the amr al-nahy, the bosom deserts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of death, he sees the Holy Prophet on his right hand, and Imam Ali al-Salam on his left hand, left side, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam in front of his eyes, and the rest of the nine imams are present surrounding them. And he says salam. Obviously the salam takes place between him and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And he says, how much I was wishing to do your ziyarat, and now I'm happy that I have seen you. And then the Prophet says, not fulfill the, the command of Allah regarding him, in other words. And Malikul Maut replies back to the Prophet that he says that he says that ask him, Ya Rasulullah, to see his place first, to see his place in the Jannah. And the moment he raises his head and he sees his own place inside the net, his face is visible, the place he's going to be residing there is now visible for him. The hijabat curtains are obviously, they are all removed. So he see his place, he see his level and daraja, his qurb and closeness to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And when he sees all the ni'mats and his qurb towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, he becomes so happy that he is
himself says to the Malik al-Maut, be quick in putting my foot out. Because I have no further sabr, towards meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord. And so we see, on the other hand, the family members are crying, but this woman is talking to the Malik al-Maut, but be quick in picking myself out. So there's a contrast of situation. If the person is the lover of Ahlul Bayt and abides by the Amr and Nahi of Allah properly, then this is how Allah is treating him. And the situation outside is different than this. The angel of death takes the soul out, and we find that now the person is taken towards the grave. When he's taken towards the grave, that's also we have another of the lips of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when the two angels come in the qabr to ask him the questions, starting from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet and Kaaba and Qibla and Quran, the book and the Ahimma and all those questions, that's also a place where the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt go up for their Mahbub servants and they help him. And because of the help of the Prophet Ahlul Bayt, he replies correctly to the angels, and the grove is now converted into Rawdatul Jannah. Al-Qabr is either Rawdatul min Riyadul Jannah, a garden among the gardens of paradise, or Hufratun min Hufar al-Nar, or a ditch among the ditches of the hell. So the window will open up, and the ni'mats and blessings of Allah will now be pouring down into the qabr, or the window opens up and the grave has the punishments. So qabr is has this this thing. Now obviously, like I said earlier, that the behavior of the aqraba is different, because this depends on our level of ma'rifat. What kind of level of ma'rifat do we have? Now, we have authentic traditions that inform us that a person, if he is in, because of sickness, sahara laylatin fil illati, if a mu'min stays up in one night because of his sickness, ibadatul sana, this is equal, he is going to be given the reward of 1 year of worship. So if we are in pain and we are in fever for one night, our sins of 1 year are forgiven. If we have fever for 2 nights, the hadith tells us the sins of 2 years are forgiven. If a person has fever for 3 nights, the sin of 70 years are forgiven. So every bla has the ni'mat of Allah, and it requires a ma'rifat to understand, and we should be thankful to Allah when the bla comes instead of showing our bitabi and jaza. Right? It's a sign of lack of ma'rifat of the person. As soon as some bla comes, some people just burst open and start complaining, why is this happening to me? Because they don't understand the ma'arif of Islam. So we find the hadith says, Al-Masa'ib Mafatihul Ajr. Masa'ib are the keys of the reward. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the person. So we find now when the person is laid into the grave, the first tuhfa and gift that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the mu'min is ghafartu laka wa la jami'a man salla alayk. That's the gift number one that comes from Allah. I have forgiven you and forgiven all those who have prayed on you. So we should take our time to participate in the janazah of the mu'mineen. No matter how much busy you are in your workplace, these businesses continue throughout the life. But we need to take care about our souls. More importantly, we have to take time out, one way or the other. Whether there is a will, there is a way. Isn't it right? We need to take time out so we can participate in the janazah of those who die on the love of the Prophet. and there's so much sawab mentioned, and I'll come to the end of my speech very soon. There's so much sawab mentioned in the hadith that anyone who prays over the janazah of a mu'min, 70,000 angels do the salat on him.
So just imagine if you participate in the janazah of one mu'min person in your life, Allah is going to send 70,000 angels to say salat on you. And when we have 40 people participating in the janazah, somebody had been doing nice services in the sake of Quran and some people are mahbub in the eyes of the community. So people show up in their janazah because they are muhtaram and respected and mahbub, and they provide khadamat and services for the community. Some people don't care about others, they're just busy in their own lives. You know, right? That's their lifestyle, they don't care about others. So when they die, nobody knows about these kind of people, right? It's a very few. There are few people showing up in the janazah. Imam Ali al-Islam has said that خَالَكُمْ نَاسَ مُخَالَفَةً إِنْ أَجْتُمْ مَعَهَا حَنَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. Live and mingle with the people in a way that when you live, they are keen and eager to see you. The people are interested to come to see you. If you die, they cry upon you. Why would the people bother to cry on you? Because you did something for them, right? If you were careless, you wouldn't care about nature, who would care about you, isn't it right? People will cry on you for doing something for them. So we need to do something for our mu'min, community. That's how we find people. 40 people, it's a great ni'mat of Allah. If 40 people can come into your janazah. Because it's the rahmat of Allah. If 40 people attend your salat al-mayyit, and they say the stones, إِنَّا لَا نَعْلَمُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا خَرَرًا. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِهَذَا الْمَيِّتِ وَمَا لَا تَغْفِرْ لِسْبَدْ بَسْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Allah al-Ghayb and knows all the secrets and all of our sins, despite the fact that He is 100% sure about everything that He knows, and He knows everything, He ignores His knowledge and information about the sins, and He gives importance to the witness of 40 believers. The mercy of Allah. How many of us are ready to ignore, and ignore the faults and sins of others? Well, we find that 70,000 angels are doing the salat on this mayyit, and the person who prayed in the salat al-mayyit, salat al-mayyit for some other mu'min, and obviously every step that you take towards participating in the salat al-mayyit of a person, Allah gives you the reward of one qirat of zamarud as sadaqah. A qirat is equal to like mount of effort, like a mountain of sadaqah of zamarud. That much reward is written for the person who, for each step that he takes towards the salat al-mayyit of a mu'min. But we find that despite the fact that Islam has provided so much sawab and reward and taqeed on these and the importance of takfeen and tadfeen and salat al-mayyit, we find that the same Rasulullah who has been teaching us these teachings, his own son's janazah is lying about in Karbala by people who are claiming to be Muslims, by people who are reading the kalima of Rasulullah. They are oppressing to that extent, they have gone so much worse than the animals that no animal would do. They are doing to the son of Rasulullah what nobody can do towards the enemies, even towards the enemies, if this is not banned, isn't it right? Even the enemies don't do like this towards the enemies.
hadiths, we find that the janazah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is lying in the Maidan of Karbala. And Imam Hussein had already made the arrangement of wearing the shirt that his mother, Fatima al-Zahra, has given to Sayyidah Zainab under his shirt. So that his body doesn't become bare. People don't wear that shirt. But look at the shakaratul-qalb of these people. That the still are there to steal away the shirt of Imam Hussein. And not just that, but we find that people who are chained up to steal the ring from the finger of Imam Hussein. And there are people who are chained up to steal the Uzzah band and the belt and from Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein's hand was miraculously moving to secure the belt, they cut the hand of Imam Hussein. Look at the shakawat al-qalb. And we find that this is the most beloved person among the Ahl al-Samah and Ahl al-Arb. Whoever wants to see the most beloved person among the Ahl al-Samah and the most beloved person among the people dwellers of earth, he is not an idle person. Inna Allaha khalaqa al-jannata min nur al-huzan. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, Allah has suddenly created the paradise from the nur of the sun. Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, Sayyidah Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. Hasan and Husayn are the leaders of the youth of paradise. And his janazah is lying there on Karbala. On the Maidan of Karbala. And now, find the people of the Asha'ir and Qaba'il who were around that area. They came and they took away the janazahs of their respectable people, their family members. The only janazahs lying is the janazah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, because there is no family member available to support Imam al-Husayn. And now Hazrat Fidda salamullah alayha, when she comes and says to Hazrat Zainab that I have a big news for you. And she says there is no news good for me. Obviously after the shahada of Imam al-Husayn, nothing is bigger remaining for her. She Hazrat Fidda says they are planning to crush the janazah under the roofs of the houses. فَقَامَ عَشْرَةٌ مِنَ الْفَوَارِسِ. Now 10 of the horses have been prepared. They are putting the new na'al in the horses. The new na'al has been, the horseshoes have been replaced. So it would be new horseshoes that they can cross the ribs of Imam al-Husayn and cross the janaza under the ribs of the horses. I don't know the hizzle and pain of Sayyidah Zainab. We cannot understand how much hizzle and pain she went through even after the shahada of Imam al-Husayn. How much she went through. We found that she was looking for two of the three times that at that time when Imam al-Husayn's janaza has been crushed. And after that, he found the same Imam Hussein, who the Holy Prophet used to kiss. The Prophet used to kiss Imam Hussein. And there were so many ashab who witnessed the fact that Imam Hussein had been kissed by the Holy Prophet in their respect. How much Prophet used to love and kiss and respect Imam Hussein. And the same place, so the neck of Imam Hussein is now being severed by Shimmer. Shimmer's slacking there. And we find Imam Hussein fulfilled the hijab to the enemy. You know, he delivered his servants, three servants, in front of the enemy. And finally, after, for everything that he did, he also introduced himself. So no one can say he did not recognize. He failed to understand that this is Hussein ibn Ali. And finally, we find Imam al-Hussein, when he was attacked from all the sides. From all the sides, they were attacking Imam al-Hussein. Someone was attacking with a sword, and somebody attacking with a spear, and somebody who doesn't have a sword or a spear is attacking with a stone. They're throwing stones at Imam al-Hussein. And Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam, when Hamala, Ra'atullah alayhi, threw his poison three-pointed arrow over Hussein ibn Ali's qalb, Gospel, Mawla Imam al-Hussein says to Allah that you know they are killing the person. There is no one who is the son of the daughter of Rasulullah other than him. But Imam al-Hussein is the only son of the daughter of Rasulullah on that time. And we find a person in the name of Salih come forward and Da'natullah alayh, and he was the one who puts the spear in the body of Imam al-Hussein, and he cannot survive longer over the back of the horse, and the horse understands this much, and the horse kneels down to facilitate the body of Imam al-Hussein. So Imam al-Hussein's body doesn't fall like this on the Maidan of Karbala. This is the horse knees down, and Imam al-Hussein's body comes down over the Maidan. But still it is actually that is still raised over the arrows. It still did not come out. That area is so much respected in Islam, where the blood of Imam al-Hussein has fallen down. If you remember, when Hazrat Umm Salama asked the Holy Prophet, how would I know that my son is now Shaheed? Prophet gave her the Turbat of Karbala, the Khaki Karbala, and as long as this Turbat remains Turbat, the son is alive. And when this Turbat gets converted into blood, you would understand that Hussein has become Shaheed. So in the final moments, she was sleeping in the time of the Asr of Ashura, when Imam Hussein was being slaughtered. She was sleeping in Medina, and she saw Rasulullah in her dream. And Prophet was so much mahzoob. And when she woke up, when she saw the Holy Prophet, and she went towards the Turbat of Imam Hussein, she found that there is no more Turbat. The bed is full of the blood that was of Imam Hussein.
لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصفراء وأبيها وبعلها ودنيها واستر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واقتل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيد الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم وفق عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأتباعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين سمة المؤمنين أفضل تنويري أعطي ربهم Some are in the hospital, some have requested for dua, for their hajat, and for all the shuhada of Islam. We have so many shuhada in Iraq recently, and you know, in the southern city, there were many who have become shaheed, and then in also in Bahrain, and also in Pakistan, and elsewhere in the Islamic Ummah, for the awa'il shuhada, for all the mu'mineen and their hajat. Let us recite the ayat al-kareema 5 times. من الشيطان الرجيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات واقض حوائجنا وحوائج المؤمنين والمؤمنات وفرج عنا وعن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين وصلى
صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله المؤمنين. Please recite one surah al-Fatiha and three times surah al-Ikhlas for Marhum Sayyid Ali Abbas Zaidi, son of Sayyid Zulfiqar Qutb.
Also, we have some of the mu'mineen in our community who their loved ones passing away recently. 3 days ago, the mother of Abu Masroor died. So, please recite the Fatiha of her mother. Last week, the father of Brother Ajaz passed away last week. So, please recite one surah al-Fatiha.